Wow, you know, we've had one interesting week, haven't we, guys? It's been a little interesting. You know, many may feel, you know, disappointment. They may feel sad. They may have all kinds of emotions, you know, going on after this week. Maybe some are even depressed over, you know, seeing some of the things that transpired this week. You know, in this past week, we've seen Joe Biden inaugurated as president of our country on Wednesday, after a very questionable election, many believing that he is currently an illegitimate president at the moment due to fraudulent votes. We've seen him undo things that were handled by the preceding administration. He undid them in just a day. Things that were very pro-American and pro-God, undone in a day. On Thursday, there was, I don't know if anyone of you heard the prayer from this very liberal, left-wing Christian, I'll use that term, that's how she refers to herself, author that was asked to lead the prayer at the National Day of Prayer, the prayer service that follows the inauguration. It was a Christian author that was asked to lead the prayer, and she said these words. When she said these words, "Almighty God, you have given us this good land as our heritage." When she said that, her liberal friends went wild. They did not like those words. And since then, she's been apologizing and just regretting that she said those words. She's been apologizing. God forbid that she would say such a thing. These things have gone on this week. On Friday, that was National Sanctity of Human Life Day, Mr. Biden issued a statement that he and his administration will continue to support and defend legalized abortion, even though that same day, the head of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, his name is Mr. Jose Gomez, he warned that very same day that Biden's agenda will, quote, "advance moral evils and threaten human life," end quote. And he denounced Joe Biden's stand on abortion, on marriage, on gender, even though Mr. Biden claims to be a devout Catholic. This was coming from the U.S. Conference of Catholic, the head bishop in that conference. You know, and as if all that, you know, might not have been, you know, a little alarming this week, the media, the socialists, the very left liberals have voiced, you know, deep concern and opinion on the need and how to deprogram the cult of the supporters of Donald Trump. You know, so many things happening this week. So many things happening. And so I want to address what God tells us to do about that. And so, you know, we also saw, I don't know if you were paying any attention to any of the news, this week we also have seen major retailers succumb to the threats of the radical left that have been trying to get retailers to stop selling a well-known product in our stores, because the founder of those products dared to question the election results and proclaim that he has 100% proof of extreme voter fraud that in those Dominion voting machines that were rigged to favor the president that we just inaugurated. And so, you know, we're going to see how all this plays out. God knows how it's all going to play out, and we could trust him through it. I believe it is God's will for all the truth to be revealed. I believe it will. You know, there are many of those working against him, though, to suppress the truth from coming forth. But it is God's will that the truth be brought forth. The truth, I believe, will be revealed in time. I don't know that time frame. I don't know how quickly that's going to happen, but I believe that that is exactly what's going to happen. Kathy, could you bring up our first scripture, Mark 4:22? This is Jesus. He said, "For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light." Nothing will be kept a secret. Nothing. You know, you may have come through this week with feelings of disappointment, sadness. You know, these things should not be happening here in America. And yet, here we are. Here we are. You know, the bad guys aren't supposed to win. You know, the good guys are supposed to. We are. But the battle isn't over yet. Yes. Yep. You know what? I'm trusting God with all of it. Amen. We have to trust Him. He knows everything that's going on. You know, but during all this, as you hear all this, how do we deal with it? You know, how are we supposed to deal with these with the emotions as we go through this? And how do we deal with disappointment while this whole scenario is being played out before us? And so Jesus had a good word. He had a good word for his disciples on the same night that he told them that he was going to be betrayed by one of his own very own disciples. This was going to, you know, kickstart the whole chain of events that was going to very soon cause Jesus a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, and ultimately his life on that cross. So, you know, to all his followers, this was not supposed to happen. That was not supposed to happen. You know, Jesus was the good guy. You know, he was the one who spoke truth and he did good. He was the one who had compassion on those who were hurting. He's the one who offered forgiveness for the sinners. And he's the Messiah. He's the one who came to redeem us all. This isn't supposed to happen, you know. And so, yet he was telling his disciples that he was about to be betrayed by one of his very own disciples, and that all that he's been telling them up to this point, it's about to happen. The betrayal, the crucifixion, the death. It's going to happen. And so Jesus said to them, and I believe Jesus is saying this to us right now, John 14:1, it says, this is Jesus speaking, "Let not your heart be troubled." He's speaking to his disciples on the very night of his betrayal. "Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You believe in God. Believe also in me." So Jesus is telling his disciples that they shouldn't be troubled, they shouldn't be in fear, they shouldn't be disappointed, but that they should believe in God and believe in him. I believe God's telling us the same thing today. And so, you know, we're going to come back to John 14 in a little bit, but I want to go look at another author. You know, on that same night, Jesus told his disciples that each of them would fall away because of the things that are going to be happening, that are about to take place on the earth. I want to look at what Matthew has to say on the account of that evening. The Jews believed that their Messiah was a political hero who would come and save them, you know, from being ruled by others. Currently, they were under, you know, Roman rule, but here Jesus is telling those closest to him that they're gonna fall away. They're gonna stumble. They're gonna be offended because things are not gonna go the way that they thought it should go. Okay, and so it's Matthew 26:31. This is Jesus speaking. "Then Jesus told them, 'This very night you will fall.'" He's speaking to those who are closest to him, who lived with him, who knew him. "This very night you're going to fall away on account of me. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.'" He's saying, you guys are going to fall away because of me and the things that you see happening. You're going to run away. You're going to hide. And so I want to look at that term fall away. The Greek word for fall away is, Kathy, scandalizo. Scandalizo. It's where we get our English word scandalize from. That scandalizo means to entrap. It means to snare. It means to trip up. It means to cause to stumble, like a stumbling block. It means entice to sin, apostasy, or displeasure. It means to offend, to make to offend. Scandalizo. That means falling away. And I want to take a deeper look at that word apostasy. Kathy, if you could bring that up. Apostasy means it's a renunciation or an abandonment from a former loyalty, like religion or faith. So a scandal is something that causes people to fall away, to renunciate, to abandon from something that they were formerly loyal to, okay? That's what Jesus was saying was going to happen to his disciples this very night and during this crisis period. And then Jesus said in the very following verse in Matthew 26, 32, he said, but after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Now, Jesus has been telling his disciples all along, you know, that he was going to be crucified, that he would die. And now he's telling them that they're going to be so shook up because of the events that are about to unfold that they're going to fall away. They'll be scattered. They'll be offended. They're going to abandon him. But he tries to assure them. He says, don't worry, guys. I'm going to rise up from the dead. I'll see you guys in Galilee. He's encouraging them. He's encouraging them in this time of crisis. I believe God is encouraging. I believe he was just encouraging us this morning during praise and worship. He was encouraging us. Jesus was saying, don't worry, guys. Don't be sad. Don't be disappointed. Don't be fearful. I got this. You know, I got it. And so, Peter, I love Peter. We know a lot of Peters, right? And then Peter answers Jesus, and he says this in verse 33. Peter says, Jesus, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. And then he goes on. Jesus responds to Peter in verse 34 and 35. This is what Jesus says. He says, truly I tell you, Jesus is talking to Peter. Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the very same thing. They pledged their allegiance to Jesus right there. And you know the rest of the story. The religious leaders, and the troops, they came for Jesus to seize him and to have him scourged and crucified. The disciples feared for their lives. They ran into hiding. Peter did deny Jesus three times. He did just the opposite of what he said he was going to do. Fear for their lives caused Peter and the other disciples to fall away from Jesus. Their faith was shaken. And so in Matthew 26:31 that we had looked at earlier, Jesus was actually quoting from the prophet Zechariah. And I want to look at what Zechariah said in Zechariah 13:7. This is God speaking through the prophet Zechariah. He said, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones. And I'm going to continue in verse 8. And it shall come to pass in the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. I will bring the one third through the fire. I will refine them as silver is refined and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. This is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. The Lord is my... This is talking about the remnant. We're talking about the remnant here. Those who remain faithful through the testing, through the trials. Is everything that we've been seeing this past week, happening before our eyes this past week, these past months, this past year, all these months, has this been a test for you? Have you felt the test? Absolutely. You know, these things aren't supposed to be happening to the good guys, the ones who stand for truth and justice. Our faith is being tested in these days. Just like those disciples were being tested in Jesus' day. Our faith is being tested. Will you stand the test? Can you stand the testing? Can you stand the refinement? In verse 9, God says that he will refine the remnant as silver is refined, and he'll test them as gold is tested. And so that word refine in Hebrew, Kathy, is the word saraf. It's saraf. That word refine means to melt, to refine, to test, or purifying metal. It means to prove. It means to smelt, examine. It means to try by fire. Have you felt the testing? Have you felt the fire? Are you being tried by all that's been happening? Well, I got good news for you. We all are. We're all being tested, every one of us. And I believe that God is watching to see how we all respond. 2 Corinthians 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." God is searching. He's looking for loyal hearts in the testing. He's looking for those who can stand the test, those who can continue to stand, even in the midst of the battle. The battle isn't over yet, guys. It's not over. It isn't over. Jesus encouraged his disciples like this right on that night as the battle was about to become very intense. They were in the thick of things. That's where Jesus told them in John 14:1, Kathy, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." This is on the night before he was to be crucified. Don't be worried, guys. Don't be troubled. This is amazing. Jesus was encouraging them. He was the one about to be crucified. And yet he's encouraging his people. God was encouraging each of us this morning during praise and worship. He was encouraging us. He was encouraging his disciples in the midst of all that was going on. How the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, how they lied about him to the people and to the governing officials. How they spread the fake news about him, and how they plotted and schemed and even got governing officials to cooperate with them, to play along with them, and how they brought out the military to enforce the evil plot against Jesus. Hey, wait a minute. We've been seeing that all this week. same thing, just different times. Similar scenario. We've been seeing this all week. The lies, the schemes, the plots, the fake news, the use of military. With all that's happening before us, it can certainly cause our hearts to be shaken or disappointed, you know. But Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be shaken. Don't let your heart be disappointed. And you know, Jesus wouldn't tell us to not be troubled if we couldn't be. He wouldn't tell us that. He wouldn't tell us that, let not your heart be troubled if we couldn't do that. It would be unjust for him to tell us that. But he knew that we could if we trusted God, if we put our focus on God, and if we resisted those emotions, those feelings, those thoughts that the enemy has been trying to plant in all of our minds this week. I want to look at a few verses later. Jesus says this in verse 33. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Why, Jesus, why should we be of good cheer? "I have overcome the world." So Jesus said, we win. Yeah, we're going to have tribulation, but he said, I've overcome the world. And so if we are in him, we win. If we're in him, we win. You know, what are some of the things, these things that Jesus spoke to his disciples? This was when the Lord instituted the Last Supper, and this is while, you know, he had washed their feet. You can read all about that in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. But prior to this, Jesus told his disciples that he would be betrayed by one of them, that he would be crucified, raised back up. But he also told them in those chapters that the world was going to hate them because of him. The world was going to hate them. And so Jesus said that he would send them a helper. He would send them the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive, because they can't see him, they can't know him, they're blinded. Jesus was saying, you know, if we're in a spiritual battle, the battle continues, guys. It continues. I'm telling you, it's a spiritual battle. The world is blinded, just like Renisa Garrett. Remember Renisa Garrett? We have a picture of her. I didn't have a picture of her before when we brought her forth during the teaching. But this is Renisa. I shared her testimony. Powerful testimony. Powerful. Lifelong Democrat. Couldn't understand how Christians could vote for Trump. Couldn't understand it. But she opened her heart and she actually sought God. She wanted to know the truth on that. And God revealed it to her. She repented and she received a supernatural deliverance. If you weren't here for that teaching, that message, you can pull that up in Google. No, don't use Google. What are we using, honey? Not Google. What are we using? Rumble. If you want to listen to the actual testimony, I mean, we have it in Podbean, I believe. Yeah, I think Ralph got it on Podbean. But if you actually want to listen to the Sid Roth program, the actual testimony that Sid read, he presented her testimony. All you got to do is put in Sid Roth into Rumble. Sid Roth, YouTube. Okay, Sid Roth. The pastor's name that he had on that show was Pastor Francis Miles, right? M-Y-L-E-S. If you put those in there, the two things that God revealed to him, that comes, I think it was October. It was October, in October of just 2020. So you can put that in, you can listen to it. That Renisa is now set free. I mean, there was some vomiting going on, but she was delivered from a demonic spirit. This is a spiritual battle, guys. It's spiritual. She learned the truth, and the truth set her free. The truth set her free. You know what I do? You know, we have some people in our family that haven't seen the truth quite yet. You know, and so I actually send that YouTube video to them. So, you know, they're blinded. And they got no clue that they're blinded. You know what? I was once blinded myself. We all were. We all were. We got to pray for the eyes to be open, for the hearts to be enlightened. It's a battle, and it continues. And so, you know what? The world hates you, church. It hates you. Get over it. Get over it. Just because you're a Christian, the world hates you. The world hates Donald Trump, too. I can tell you. Oh, that's why we're seeing all this. Woo! You know why they hate him? He stands for righteousness. You know, he gave Christians a voice. He gave Christians a voice, and he stands for righteousness. You know, is he perfect? No. He's not perfect. King David wasn't perfect either. You know, but he stands for righteousness. The world hates him because he's the only one that's come against the New World Order. That's it in a nutshell, guys. That's what it comes down to. That's the bigger picture. You got to see the bigger picture. That's why the Dominion voting machines were put in place to switch votes from one candidate to another here in America, but they also had access to that abroad. You know, I don't know how all that tech stuff works, but it was working. That's why the vote counts in our country were halted, and thousands of fraudulent ballots came in after hours and made it appear that Donald Trump didn't win, when in actuality, I truly believe he did. By the legal vote, I believe he did. That is why, you know, this bigger picture, that's why COVID-19 was released from the very country whose goal it is to control the world. Right. Not an accident, guys. None of this is an accident, and none of it takes God by surprise. He knows it all. He knows everything going on behind the scenes. You know, it is the enemy's goal to control the world. It's all about control. That's what this is all about. They don't have a different goal than they did back in Jesus' day. The enemy doesn't have a different goal. It's the same goal, to control you and I, to control the world. And here we are at this exact moment in time to witness all that's happening. Just like those disciples were there to witness all that was happening at that point of time. And so Jesus, I believe, is saying the same thing to us today. He's saying, you know, don't be afraid. Don't be disappointed. You know, believe in me. I told you these things. I told you these things in here so that you can appease. Not just then, but today, here, today too, that you may have peace. You'll have tribulation in the world, but because you're my followers, the world's going to hate you. You know, it's going to hate you, but I have overcome the world. Don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged. Stand the test. You can stand the test, and he's watching to see how we respond to this test. It is a test. Don't be troubled. You're going through the refinement. We all are, but we can trust God. He says, I have already overcome. He's already overcome. We can trust that. The Bible says he can't lie. So that's what our focus has got to be on. I believe that we're part of that remnant. I believe we're part of that one-third that's going through the test and who will stand through that test of faith. I believe we are. God tells us through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 41:10, Kathy, he says, fear not. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, because I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my what? My righteous right hand. Who sits at the right hand of God? Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus. Why does God tell us not to be troubled? To not be in fear, to not be disappointed. Jesus has us. He's already overcome. He's already overcome. But also, because if we indulge in those negative thoughts, those negative things that come at us, it opens the door to the enemy in our life. We can't entertain that. We can't play with that. We can't allow it. But when we trust God, we put our trust in him, no matter what, when we praise him, we were praising him this morning, and look what happened. when we praise him, when we thank him for who he is and for the outcome, he already knows what the outcome is, it actually causes our faith to increase when we praise him. Praise is strength. Praise is strength. When the enemy is attacking your thoughts, when he's attacking your heart with disappointment or with fear, it's important that we praise God through it. We praise him through it to the victory. Whatever that attack is, we don't fall away. We don't run and hide. We praise him through it. Even if we don't feel like it, we need to stand in faith, praising God for the outcome. I just want to look at Psalm 8:2. This is the NIV version. It says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Praise silences our enemy. It's a stronghold against our enemy. When the enemy attacks our mind, praise will undo that attack. It'll undo it. But I also want to look at the New King James Version for that same. Do we have that up there? Okay, the New King James says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Praise is strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Praise is strength. So we need to praise him even when we don't feel like it. You know, someone asked me through all this mess, what are you going to do if Biden wins? What are you going to do if Biden wins? Well, I personally don't believe he did win, but he has been inaugurated, you know, in our nation. But I'm going to continue standing. God doesn't fall off of his throne because Biden got put into that position. I don't know what's all going on, but I know that there's rumblings going on. I know there's things that I don't even know all about, but I know God does. So I'm trusting him. I'm going to continue to share his word because it's the truth. I'm going to continue to stand. I'm not going to fall away. I'm not going to back up. I'm going to stand on his word, and I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him through it all. It's each of our responsibility to guard our own hearts. And so Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The King James Version says, keep your heart with all diligence. Now, the understood subject in that sentence is you. You guard your heart. You keep your heart. You are the one who controls your heart. You're the one that controls your emotions. You are the one. We can't allow our emotions to run amok. You know, it's easier to keep our emotions controlled when we don't allow them to go wild in the first place. You know, stay focused on God's word. Stay focused. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Jesus said, you let not your heart be troubled. And he said this to his disciples, knowing the crisis that they were about to face. He knew it. According to their way of thinking, Jesus, the Messiah, was not supposed to be killed. That wasn't supposed to happen. He's the good guy, you know. He wasn't supposed to die. The enemy won, right? Oh, no. The enemy thought he won. He didn't win. He didn't win. God had the final say then, and he'll have the final say now. Absolutely. We can trust him. I don't know what all that's going to look like, but I know we're to trust him. I'm praying for men and women of faith to stand up and to reveal the truth. This battle's not over yet. To reveal the evidence that they have about that election. I'm praying for people like Mike Lindell, my pillow guy. Yes. my pillow guy. According to Micah, and we just heard this week, if you anywhere were tuned in, he is challenging Dominion to take him on in court because he knows he has the evidence to prove that this election was absolutely stolen. He wants the whole world to know the truth. And so I'm praying for others too who also have evidence. They said that they would bring that evidence forth, but because their lives have been threatened, because their families' lives have been threatened, people have backed off. I'm believing that there are those who God is calling forth that are going to come forth and are going to stand for truth, no matter what. They won't be fearful. There were stores, that were selling MyPillow merchandise, they were threatened, and many of those retailers succumbed to the boycott threats of the very left groups, the evil left groups, that they should no longer sell those products because Mr. Lindell is a Trump supporter, and because he has evidence, he's claiming he has evidence about the fraudulent election. He wants to bring that forth. Major retailers like Bed Bath & Beyond, Kohl's, Macy's, Wayfair, they got scared. They were threatened and they got scared. This is Mike's response to those retailers. He shared this during an interview this week. A lot happened this week. A lot going on. He shared this interview with Right Side Broadcasting commentator Brian Glenn this week. This is what he said. He says this: I just got off the phone with Bed Bath & Beyond. They're dropping my pillow. Just got off the phone not 5 minutes ago. Kohl's, all these different places. These guys don't understand. They're scared. They were good partners. In fact, I told them, you guys come back anytime you want. That's a Christian response, guys. It's a Christian response. Wayfair and Macy's and others are also pulling MyPillow products from their inventory. This is not a conspiracy theory, guys. This is real life. It's really happening. This is evil versus good. It's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. And the battle continues. Mike Lindell has the guts to stand up for what is right. I wish I could say the same for Bed Bath & Beyond and Kohl's and Macy's and Wayfair and all the other retailers who have, got weak knees. Because of the fear tactics of the left. But Mike Lindell is a patriot. He loves America, and he's willing to stand and fight for it. I don't know if you know his story, but Mike is a miracle himself. It's a miraculous story. He's a self-made multi-millionaire. He's an infomercial superstar. commercials have we seen with Mike Lindell on them? One right after the other, after the other, after the other. He created MyPillow, that MyPillow empire, from scratch in 2004. Back then, he was still a drug addict. 2004. Mike says, there aren't many crack addicts who become successful, but he's one of them. He's one of them. He's now been totally clean and sober for 13 years. So it is possible. It is possible, world. Those who are listening, it is possible. And he's gone from rags to riches. He's an amazing American success story, and he has a super strong faith in God. In fact, he says the idea for MyPillow came to him in a dream, and he acted on it. A dream. And now he's using his money and his boldness to stand for truth, to stand for righteousness. particularly about this election. I give him a lot of credit, a lot of credit. I feel that we need more patriots like him. This is something else that he said. Mr. Lindell said this. He said, "I want all the American people and the world to see the horrific things that these Dominion voting machines are capable of and what they did to our country and what. They're allowing other countries to steal our election and just to hijack our election." He said he welcomes a lawsuit from Dominion. He says this, "I want them to sue me, please, because I have all the evidence, 100%. There's a lot of evidence, a lot of evidence. The left has jeered and said that the election fraud cases have been, quote, laughed out of court, end quote. You know, the courts have been evading the evidence of the stolen 2020 election. Judges have turned a blind eye. But I believe as more and more people come forth, like Mike Lindell, with the facts and don't quit and don't stop, I believe the truth will prevail. And I totally expect that good will win over evil. Dominion and other leftists continue to make threats, but I believe that truth will triumph. In 2017, people who worked for CNN were caught on video admitting that the Trump-Russia collusion was nonsense. They were caught on video saying that. But you know what? That didn't stop CNN or any of the other the major retailers, the news media, to stop spreading that false information. They knew it was false. They knew it. They admitted to it. It was caught on camera. But they just kept spreading that false narrative for several years. Now we know the truth. We know the truth. Totally false. They had no shred of evidence. And they knew it while they were speaking it forth. The truth did come forth. I believe all the truth will come forth about this election. I don't know the timing. But I know it's God's will. You know, The lies about Jesus that the Pharisees and the Sadducees that they were spreading, they've since been proven to be lies. The people didn't know it then, but history has proven it. And the over 300 plus prophecies about Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection, all those prophecies prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. We know the truth, guys. We know the truth. He's already overcome. We know the truth. We can stand. No matter who they put into our presidency, we can stand. God knows the truth. Everything hidden will be revealed. It'll all be revealed at some point. As Christians and as patriots, we just need to trust God and stand boldly on his side through it all. The religious left in Jesus' day, they thought they won. The devil thought he won when Jesus was crucified and put in that tomb. But 3 days later, God raised him up. Remember, the enemy thought he won when you know Lazarus became sick and died. You know, remember Martha and Mary, and the enemy thought that he had him, but Jesus, 4 days later, Jesus raised him up. The battle is not over. The battle is between good and evil still today. And it will continue probably in our lifetime until we see Jesus return. I'm praying it is my lifetime. I don't know all the times. I don't know all the details. I don't know all that. But I'm trusting God. Anything that is hidden will be revealed. But I want to go on and show you how Jesus continued to encourage those disciples. I want to go back to John chapter 14. He told them not to let their hearts be troubled, even through all that betrayal, the scourging, the crucifixion, the death. So I want to continue here in John 14, 2 and 3. If you look at that with me, he's encouraging his disciples in that time of crisis to turn their earthly, carnal thoughts to heavenly thoughts, to spiritual thoughts, okay? That this is in their time of crisis. So John 14:2, in my Father's house, this is Jesus speaking, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So what he's telling them is he's not going to stay dead. He's going to continue. He will live on. And he's going to go to heaven. He's going to prepare a place for them. A mansion. A mansion. He told them they need to keep their focus on spiritual things. Keep your focus on heavenly things, not on earthly things. You know, if these things on earth are troubling you, focus your heart on heavenly things, on the things of God. And so we need to maintain that same proper perspective as we go through any crisis that we face. You know, as Christians, if worse would come to worse, we would die and go to heaven and live with Jesus and be in a mansion. Whoa, where's the sting? Where's the sting? You know, we win whether we live or die. We win. In fact, we can't lose for winning. Yes. We've already won. So that's what Jesus was telling his disciples to focus on. And every one of them, with the exception of John, died a martyr's death. They're all in heaven now. They're all in those mansions right now. So we need to keep things into perspective. I actually plan on doing a series very shortly on heaven. I want our focus to be on him. God's telling us, keep your focus on heavenly things. We're going to be focusing on heaven. That's going to be a very soon upcoming series. Literally, we're going to be looking at heaven. And so America has been through a lot, but I believe God will see us through these current events. I don't know how, I don't know what it's all going to look like, but I'm trusting that he's going to take us through. And so I personally believe that we do have an illegitimate president at the helm right now, but I'm trusting God to see us through. There's rumblings going on, so I don't know what all that is, but I'm trusting him. But he does need people to cooperate with him. He needs people to cooperate. So we continue to pray for those who God is moving to stand up and to be bold, to bring forth the truth, to bring forth the evidence. We continue to declare God's will to be accomplished, and we maintain a heavenly perspective that Jesus has already defeated the enemy. He's already disarmed, you know, those principalities and powers. He's already made a show of them openly. And so we want to make sure that we stand firm until those enemies are made his footstool. When they're made his footstool, they're also our footstool as well, okay? So, amen. I read the end of the book. And we win. We do win. We do win. So stay in the battle. The battle continues. Don't be discouraged. Don't back down. Don't back off. And what are our orders? What are our orders? I want to bring you to Ephesians 6. These are our orders, guys. These are our orders. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, not fall away, not get discouraged, not fall back, against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So God is telling us in his word, stay suited up. Don't drop your shield. Don't drop your belt. Don't let those weapons, fall. Every one of those weapons has to do with the word of God. Every single one. God says we need to persevere. If he says we can persevere, can we? Absolutely. If he says that we can stand, we can withstand during the crisis, can we do it? Absolutely. Absolutely we can. We need to trust God. Don't shipwreck your faith. Don't listen to the lies on the news media. The battle continues, but we win. We win. I read the end of the book. We win. We do win, guys. So I just wanted to share that and be an encouragement to you. I know this week was maybe a hard week for some people. I've been getting some phone calls. And so I just wanted to encourage you with the truth. We're standing. We're not being moved. And so just be encouraged. Just be encouraged. God doesn't lie to us in his word. He doesn't lie. He knows the timing of all things. I don't know the timing of all things. But he's got us. And I believe that this church is part of that remnant. We're that one third that will be able to stand through whatever crisis comes our way. And we'll stand as long as we need to stand until Jesus returns. So, I pray that was encouraging to you. The word is always encouraging to me. I'm just grateful that God had forethought to keep his word for us, that we can stand on it. We're reading about things that the disciples had to deal with back in their day, but we're dealing with some of those same things today. So what God said to them, it'll work for us too. So we thank you, Father, for your anointing on this word. Lord God, even as we go from this place, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that there is a song in our step, Lord God, that the joy of the Lord is our strength as we go forth from this place, Father, knowing what you have already done, that you're working behind the scenes. We don't even know what all that is, Lord God. But we're on your side, and we'll continue to praise you and thank you through until we see that the end, Lord, that you have for this country, the desired result that you have for this country, and ultimately the desired result that you have for your remnant. Father, we just thank and give you praise for all that you do in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.